Welcome to the deep dive. I want you to imagine betting your entire life savings on whether or not it rains in like one specific zip code.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds terrifying.
Right. You buy this huge plot of land, and from that moment on, your entire financial future depends on the microclimate of that single farm.
Right.
If there's a drought, you go bankrupt.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy, but historically, I mean, that is exactly what traditional real estate investing has forced people to do.
It really has. Because, it's a structural limitation that's plagued investors for centuries.
Yeah, we all know the golden rule of equities, which is diversify.
Right.
But the moment you look at traditional property investment, that philosophy just hits a brick wall.
Absolutely.
All right.
Because the sheer capital required craps you. You get stuck in a single, highly illiquid asset.
Exactly. So today, our mission on this deep dive is to explore how that wall is finally being torn down. For you, the listener, who is always looking for that smart shortcut to being well-informed, we've got something special today.
We do. We're looking at some really fascinating mechanics.
Yeah, we are working from a breakdown on the Asul Gamma blog. It's titled Eight, Diversification Through Tokenized Real Estate, Expanding Property Exposure. And we are going to look at how digital investment models are breaking this single farm limitation.
Well, the capital barrier to entry in commercial or like high-value residential real estate is just
Right.
so high that most people, if they can enter the market at all, are heavily concentrated.
Right. They own one asset in one neighborhood.
Exactly. And if local rental demand drops, or say a major employer leaves that specific city, that single asset absorbs 100% of the impact.
Ouch. Yeah, that's a lot of risk. Okay, let's unpack this because we are talking about taking a physical building, right? Concrete, steel, glass, and breaking it down so people can buy smaller pieces of it.
Yes. But, conceptually, that can be tricky for people.
Right. Because practically speaking, we aren't taking a sledgehammer to a skyscraper and handing out the keys to like a specific bathroom on the fourth
Yeah,
floor.
that definitely
So
not.
how are we dividing physical concrete?
Well, we aren't dividing the concrete. We are dividing the economic value.
Okay.
When we talk about tokenization in this context, the physical property remains entirely intact. What's being divided is the ownership structure.
Ah, okay. So the digital token represents what? Participation in a property-backed investment?
Exactly.
Mm.
And the mechanism making this actually work is a legal wrapper. So a trust or a limited liability company, an LLC, legally owns the underlying physical property, the actual bricks and mortar.
Okay, got it. So the LLC holds the deed.
Right. And then the digital tokens are issued to represent fractional shares of that legal entity.
Wait, so is this just buying a digital picture of a house, or do I actually have a stake in the real physical bricks and mortar?
You have a stake. The connection is entirely tangible. Let's trace the cash flow for a second.
Yeah, please, because I want to understand the day-to-day flow of this.
Okay, so say the LLC owns a commercial office building. A tenant in that building pays their monthly rent in traditional fiat currency.
Just regular dollars or euros or whatever.
Exactly. That rent goes into the LLC's bank account.
Yeah.
After operational expenses and property taxes are paid, the net income is distributed to the owners of the LLC.
Okay, makes sense. So where does the token come in?
Well, because the tokens represent those ownership shares, the digital ecosystem uses smart contracts to automatically distribute that rental yield directly into the digital wallets of the token holders.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, your return is distributed based on the actual real-world rental income, or, the physical assets capital appreciation when it's eventually sold.
Okay, sure. I have a legal stake and I see how the cash flows, but I have to push back on the risk profile here for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
If the LLC mismanages the property, like if they fail to find tenants or ignore maintenance, my token is going to tank regardless of the technology,
Oh,
right?
absolutely.
It feels like I'm trading the risk of a bad local real estate market for the risk of a bad platform manager.
That is a highly accurate assessment of the risk shift. The technology does not eliminate human operational risk or bad property management. You are still reliant on the sponsor or the management company running the LLC to execute their business plan effectively.
So the human element is still very much there.
Very much so. But what's fascinating here is that while it doesn't erase operational risk, this specific mechanism systematically lowers the capital threshold for entry.
Which changes everything.
Exactly. It changes your ability to absorb that risk. Historically, gaining exposure to a $50 million commercial building required millions of dollars in upfront capital.
Which most people just don't have.
Right. But now, because the economic value is tokenized into microshares, you can gain exposure to that exact same asset for a fraction of the cost.
So going back to our analogy, you can finally buy the sieves instead of betting on the whole farm.
Yes. And that structural change is what allows everyday investors to approach property the exact same way they approach liquid financial markets.
Meaning I can spread my money around.
Right. You can allocate smaller investments across multiple opportunities rather than dumping it all into one building.
Okay, so once that massive capital barrier is lowered, you as an investor suddenly have choices. And when you have choices, you need a strategy.
Exactly. You can't just buy randomly.
Right. How do you strategically spread those smaller investments to actually protect your portfolio? Well, the Osul Gamma Post breaks this down into three dimensions of real estate diversification.
And the first dimension is geography.
Geography, which, I mean, makes intuitive sense, right? Geographic spread protects you if a specific city's economy just tanks.
Precisely.
What happens in downtown Manhattan is driven by entirely different factors than, say, a growing suburb in Texas or a commercial district in London.
Local economic conditions are the primary driver of real estate value. Infrastructure development, demographic shifts, job market growth.
Local zoning laws, all of that.
Exactly. And those vary wildly, not just from state to state, but literally from zip code to zip code.
It's so hyper-local.
It really is.
Yeah.
A new highway extension might double property values in one town, while a factory closure decimates values the next town over.
And tokenization solves this.
Tokenization allows you to hold fractions of properties across multiple cities or entirely different countries. If one region experiences an economic slowdown, your portfolio isn't completely compromised.
Because you have exposure to other markets that are thriving.
Right. You aren't entirely reliant on that one factory staying open.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting, because geographic spread won't save you if the broader economy is fine, but consumer habits change globally.
Yes. That's a crucial point.
Like, that geographic spread is completely useless if every building you own is a shopping mall and people just, you know, stop going to malls.
Which brings us to the second dimension, sector diversification.
Right. So we aren't just spreading investments across a map.
No, we are spreading them across entirely different types of real estate, because the real estate market is far from a monolith.
It's a lot of different sub-markets.
Exactly. It's composed of distinct sectors: residential, office spaces, logistics facilities, retail, and hospitality.
And they don't all move together.
Not at all. Each of these sectors reacts entirely differently to the exact same macroeconomic conditions. They serve different fundamental human needs.
So let's take a major shift in consumer behavior, right? Like the rapid acceleration of e-commerce. As more people shop online, traditional brick-and-mortar retail properties see a massive decline in foot traffic.
Which directly drops their rental value.
Exactly. If I only own retail space, I am hurting. But all those online orders have to be stored and shipped from somewhere.
They need warehouses.
Right. So if I use fractional ownership to hold a token in a retail space, AND, a token in a logistics facility like a massive distribution center, the boom in my logistics asset offsets the dip in my retail asset.
You're hedging your own loss.
Exactly. I'm building a ship with multiple watertight compartments. If retail takes on water, logistics keeps me afloat.
That is the exact utility of multi-sector exposure. And we see the same dynamic play out between, say, hospitality and residential real estate.
Oh, how so?
Well, during an economic downturn, discretionary spending shrinks, right?
Mm.
Corporate travel budgets are slashed, family vacations are canceled.
So hotels suffer immediate revenue drops.
Exactly. Hospitality takes a hit. However, shelter is a necessity. Residential housing tends to be much more resilient during those same economic contractions.
People always need a place to live.
Right. So by allocating capital across multiple sectors within the same portfolio, you create a built-in balance that a single asset investor simply cannot achieve.
That makes a ton of sense. And that leads directly into the third dimension, which honestly feels like the hidden variable in all of this.
Cycle timing.
Yes, cycle timing. Because even if I am diversified by geography and by sector, time is still a factor because markets don't just stay still.
They don't. Real estate markets are inherently cyclical. They move through distinct observable phases.
Like what?
Well, you have the expansion phase, which is characterized by falling vacancies, rising rents, and new construction. Then comes stabilization.
Where things kind of level out.
Right, where supply finally meets demand and rents peak. But eventually, markets enter an adjustment or downturn phase.
And what triggers that?
Usually it's driven by oversupply from too much construction or just a broader economic cooling. That leads to rising vacancies and flat or falling rents.
And the crucial part here for you listening is that these phases don't happen everywhere at once.
Right, they aren't synchronized.
Yeah.
A commercial property market in a secondary city might be in a phase of rapid expansion because, I don't know, a new tech hub just relocated there.
Driving up demand for office space.
Exactly. But at the exact same moment, a primary market in another state might be entering an adjustment phase because developers overbuilt luxury condos for the past 5 years.
Okay, so it sounds like a multi-cylinder engine.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Yeah, if all the pistons fire at the exact same time, the engine just breaks. You need them alternating. While one market is cooling down and exhausting, another market in your portfolio is in the combustion phase and firing.
Which keeps the momentum of the entire portfolio moving forward. That is a highly accurate way to visualize it.
It's all about smooth performance.
Right. Active cycle timing mitigates the risk of a severe local market downturn, wiping out your capital. Because tokenization allows you to participate in multiple markets simultaneously.
So you can actively spread your investments across these different cyclical phases.
You're no longer reliant on one property to generate all your returns, bearing the full brunt of its adjustment phase. You benefit from the blended performance of several assets acting in concert.
Okay, I am following the logic completely. I want the alternating pistons. I want to be diversified across geography, across different property sectors, and across different cycle timings.
It's the ideal setup.
But practically, I mean, doesn't managing dozens of fractional properties become an absolute administrative nightmare?
Without the right infrastructure, yes.
Because if I am holding fractional stakes in a residential complex in Miami, a logistics center in Ohio, a retail space in Berlin, and an office building in Tokyo, am I suddenly dealing with K-1 tax forms, property taxes, and tenant disputes in four different time zones?
I mean, if you were attempting this using the traditional syndication model, it would absolutely be an administrative burden.
A total headache.
You would be managing multiple portals, drowning in disparate tax documentation, and constantly wiring funds across borders.
So how does tokenization fix the paperwork?
This is where the digital ecosystem that supports tokenized real estate becomes essential. The OSUL Gamma platform, which was highlighted in our source material, illustrates how digital investment platforms solve this logistical hurdle.
Okay, so the platform acts as the central aggregator for all these disparate fractional assets.
Right. It provides the structured access required to make this model function at scale. Platforms like OSUL Gamma aggregate these real estate-backed opportunities into a single digital environment.
So I'm not juggling a dozen different logins.
Exactly. As an investor, you aren't flying to Berlin to inspect a roof or navigating local tax law in Ohio. You are logging into a centralized dashboard to review structured opportunities and allocate your capital digitally.
And the smart contracts we mentioned earlier do the heavy lifting.
Yes, the smart contracts handle the automated distribution of yields and the platform consolidates the reporting.
Wow. It basically centralizes a decentralized portfolio. And I imagine that centralization changes how quickly you can move your money around, too.
It changes everything about liquidity.
Because in traditional real estate, rebalancing your portfolio means selling a physical building. You are dealing with escrow, title searches, massive broker fees, and it can take months or even years to liquidate.
The contrast and friction is stark. In the tokenized ecosystem, investors can dynamically adjust their holdings.
Really? Just like that?
Pretty much. Because the tokens represent fractional shares and are managed digitally, you have portfolio flexibility. You can rebalance your exposure over time.
So if I want to get out of retail and into logistics, I don't have to hire a broker.
Right. You could shift capital from an asset that has reached the stabilization phase into a new development, entering the expansion phase, all entirely through the digital interface.
Okay, I have to ask, though, if I am managing all of this on a screen through a platform like OSUL Gamma, just clicking buttons to allocate capital to different cities and sectors, haven't we completely sterilized the real estate experience?
Sterilized in what way?
Well, I'm not inspecting foundations. I'm not a landlord. I feel like I'm just a dashboard manager looking at numbers on a screen. Doesn't that detach us from the reality of the asset?
I hear what you're saying. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, I would argue that detachment is the ultimate feature, not a bug.
Oh, really? How so?
The primary goal of investing, for most people at least, is not to take on a second job as a property manager. The goal is to protect and grow wealth.
Fair point.
The fundamentals of the real estate, the physical land, the structural integrity of the building, the tenant demand, the economic utility of the space, all of those remain exactly the same.
So the building is still out there in the real world doing its job. I just don't have to go fix the plumbing at 2 a.m.
Yes, Exactly. They are still the engine driving the value of your token. What has changed is the operational friction,
Okay, I see what you mean.
removing the headaches of being a landlord, the massive capital requirements, and the paralyzing illiquidity. That's what allows for this new era of balanced risk management.
You are trading the tactile, hands-on experience of physical property ownership for the ability to construct a mathematically sound, globally diversified portfolio.
Right. And historically, building a multi-sector, multi-geographic real estate portfolio was a privilege reserved exclusively for institutional mega funds and the ultra wealthy.
So, what does this all mean? Let's bring this all together for you, the listener.
Good.
What we've uncovered today is that tokenized real estate isn't just a tech gimmick or like a digital novelty.
No, it's highly substantive.
It's a fundamental structural evolution that solves the oldest, most dangerous problem in property investing, concentration risk.
Yeah.
By dividing the economic value of a property and wrapping it in a legal entity, technology has lowered the capital barrier. It democratizes an asset class that has historically been walled off.
It allows anyone to build a balanced portfolio across geography, sectors, and time. It fundamentally levels the playing field.
It really does.
But, it does require a note of grounded reality. While the technology makes diversification accessible, careful evaluation of the platforms and the underlying assets remains essential.
Yeah, bad concrete is still bad concrete.
Exactly. A structurally unsound building or a poorly managed property is still a bad investment, even if it is tokenized.
Right.
However, when you synthesize this digital fractional ownership with traditional rigorous property fundamentals, it is reshaping how modern wealth can be protected and grown.
It offers a practical pathway away from the danger of the single asset and toward true portfolio resilience. We started by talking about the danger of putting all your life savings into a single farm and just praying for rain. Tokenization finally lets us buy the seeds and plant them across the country, across different crops, securely and efficiently.
It's a game changer.
It really is. And that leaves me with one final thought, something for you to mull over on your own after we wrap up here.
Oh, I like where this is going.
If tokenization eventually scales to the point where real estate becomes as liquid and as easy to trade as a standard stock on an app, how will that change the physical shape of our cities? Think about it. If a new neighborhood development can be funded by thousands of micro-investors globally, rather than relying on one local mega bank's approval, will the very architecture of our communities begin to look different?
That's a huge question.
Will global taste dictate local skylines? It is a fascinating ripple effect to consider. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep your curiosity sharp and keep asking those big questions.